Hello, and thank you for listening to the first Pulmonary Therapy podcast, which has been created alongside our 2020 editorial update. My name is Christopher Votrino, and I'm the managing editor of the journal. We thought, considering this is the first podcast, it was an excellent opportunity to introduce the journal's editors-in-chief, Dr. Kai Michael B. and Professor Rajiv Dand. They will discuss their ongoing research focus and comment on the current and future direction of pulmonary medicine. I'm joined by Dr. Kai Michael B., the founder and director of INSAF Respiratory Research Institute in Wiesbaden, Germany. Dr. B. is the EU-based editor-in-chief for pulmonary therapy and joined the journal at its launch in 2015. Dr. B. is an internationally recognised researcher in the area of pathophysiology and pharmacotherapy of chronic airway diseases. So Dr. B., could you describe in more detail your area of expertise and current research focus?
Well, thank you, Chris. Happy to join you for this podcast. So my role and my area of expertise is that I'm a pulmonologist by training and as the medical director of the INSAF Respiratory Research Institute in Wiesbaden in Germany. My main focus is to develop new treatments or look for new treatments in the field of airway diseases, mainly asthma and COPD. So currently we are undertaking a lot of mechanistic and early phase studies looking in asthma, for example, at both ends of the spectrum in severe asthma as an add-on therapeutic approach, but also in milder forms of asthma, replacements or alternatives for inhaled corticosteroids. So an exciting area in this field, while in COPD, the main focus is actually to look for new drugs that target inflammatory pathways, which are currently underserved by the typical anti-inflammatory medications in COPD, and that may potentially in the future be used both in a chronic maintenance setting, but also maybe in the acute setting of an exacerbation. So that's basically our main focus currently.
Thank you. And on a broader scale, what do you feel have been the most important developments in your area over the past year?
Well, clearly, from my perspective, I think that the most important development in the past year has been the broader introduction of new biologics in the field of severe asthma, because I think that these treatments really have changed the lives of many patients that are suitable candidates for treatment with these specific therapies. So that's really an important step forward. And as for some of these drugs, also the indication has been broadened, for example, to chronic rhinosinusitis for some of these biologics. I think it's ever more important to look at the totality of a patient as not having different parts of diseases or organ manifestation, but really look at the, let's say, the holistic approach of treating certain forms of diseases, whether they manifest at upper airways or lower airways. So that's really giving us now an option to treat a lot of these patients really in a holistic way. In COPD, I think that the most relevant clinical change has been the introduction of fixed triple therapies into the market. We're now trying to figure out basically in which patients these can make a difference. And I think there's been quite some interesting work done in the past year to again refine maybe the role of eosinophils as a biomarker. So that was clearly something that kept us intellectually busy over the past year. Well, the second thing is, of course, also relating to biologics in COPD, where we have had some, well, more or less disappointing results with some of these treatments, which again taught us a lesson that overall drug development is not that easy, and it's not easily to be said that you can transfer good experiences with one drug in asthma necessarily to COPD, where, as in this particular example, the anti-IL-5 molecules have not been that successful as they've been in asthma. But that may again provide us with more information for the future, how to better tailor and our clinical trials, design clinical trials, and choose the appropriate populations.
Moving forwards, Where do you see developments in chronic airway diseases and patient care in 2020 and beyond?
Well, I think, first of all, 2020 started not too good for clinical research and drug development in asthma and COPD. We have learned about big disappointment with one of the CRTH2 antagonists, which has been in the late stages of development for asthma as an add-on therapy, where actually the sponsor development of the drug has terminated the development program. So that was another lesson to learn, that after all, things are not sometimes not as easy as they were anticipated. And I would be interesting to see in the next year whether the other types of drugs in this class perform equally well, lukewarm, or whether they may be more effective in patients with asthma. Clearly, we will see more data, particularly in asthma, on new biologics. There are data with tezepelumab, for example, the anti-TSLP, probably coming up. We will see more data released on the fixed triple combinations in asthma. We have got multiple companies coming up with their data, and this is also going to be interesting to see where in the step-up, step-down algorithm of asthma treatment these triple combinations will ideally fit in. They're probably going to be a step before a biological therapy, but the question is a bit whether these triple combinations may also have a potential to be introduced early, instead of, for example, increasing the dose of inhaled corticosteroids and or LABA. So that is something we are looking forward to, and we expect to see some good data. And of course, as the pipeline is still filled also in COPD, we will, at the major conferences, see some new data on triple combination, but also new molecules in COPD at ATS latest.
Interesting. Thank you. And beyond your area in pulmonary medicine, what is the most interesting and or important data you've seen released in the past year, and why is that?
Well, Chris, I think it's difficult nowadays to respond to a question like that, not with an answer that it contains the words coronavirus in any way. So this has really been, apart from the social implications and also societal implications and media implications, are currently a real big issue. I think that's also something which is clinically and scientifically and also intellectually very challenging, and it's a very interesting area. And we as pulmonologists, of course, as the worst complication of the coronavirus disease is, of course, the pulmonary infection and the related pneumonia. We stand in the forefront of fighting corona, and I think that's really an interesting field, particularly for somebody who's not so much involved in infectiology or virology as I am. So I'm learning something new every day, even with my clinical experience and background. I'm learning something new every day, and I'm looking forward to the scientific approach to solving that problem. And hopefully we will see more answers in the next week. And hopefully we also see the spread of the disease slowing down, and which would give us more time then to thoroughly address the scientific questions that we need to address to prevent another outbreak like that, maybe in the forthcoming seasons.
And finally, what important developments do you predict in pulmonary medicine moving forward?
Well, I think that the field in pulmonary medicine, both in diagnostics and also in clinical therapeutic approaches, is getting more and more complex in the future. I think the times where simplicity ruled for a lot of the entities that are comprised in the term of pulmonary medicine, I think these times are over in a certain way. But there will be patients still easy to treat with a one-size-fits-all approach, but I think that the trend clearly is going into the future, and it's going to be like that in the near future, to talk more about biomarker-targeted therapies, as we already see in, for example, oncology, where the field is getting more and more complex. But also we are seeing now a strong move, a strong scientific move, ultimately leading to new treatments in the field of interstitial lung diseases, where we had a lot of, information about classifying these diseases or naming these diseases. But eventually the question was always, does it matter? Because there was no treatment available. Now we're in an age where coming back to this better or improved characterization of disease, that we are in an age where we can expect that this ultimately also leads to new treatments. And that's a trend that I would also forecast, not only for asthma, COPD, or interstitial lung disease. I think it's a general trend in medicine that there will be a lot to learn beyond the average, let's say, John Doe or Jane Doe, which is nicely and easily to be treated with cheap, effective drugs. But anything beyond that requires definitely some more work of brain and some intellectual input, which is exciting news. And it's of course, a guarantee that it's going to remain very challenging in the next years.
Very interesting. Thank you for your time, Dr. B. And thank you for those listening to the podcast. We hope you found it interesting and informative. A general journal update is available as part of the original editorial on our website. The editorial highlights various key updates, such as our recent PubMed indexing and highly read articles in 2019. But do get in touch with the journal if you have any questions at all. Contact information is available on the journal's homepage. Thank you. This podcast is associated with the manuscript Pulmonary Therapy 2020 Update and Podcast, Meet the Journal's Editors-in-Chief, authored by Kai B. and Rajiv Dand, and published in Pulmonary Therapy. The podcast has been made open access by ADIS. The podcast represents the opinions of the authors. And for a full list of declarations, including funding and author disclosure statements, please see the full text online. Copyright the authors, CC BY NC 2020.